Blog Talk Radio.
I've been ungrateful. I've been unthankful. Yet you still find mercy for me. Oh, Lord. I've been unfaithful. I've strayed away. But you never stop believing in me. Oh, Lord, I have fallen short of your glory. But I refuse to let that be the end of my story. And you said if we confess, you forgive our sins.
Talking about the threefold cord.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12.
Okay.
Let me just say that she's getting the scripture. There is a threefold demonic cord that can be broken. The scripture says it's not easily broken. But it can be broken. 4:12. And that demonic threefold cord pertaining to witchcraft is Jezebel, Athaliah, and Delilah. Jezebel, Athaliah, which is her daughter, and Delilah, who is her cohort. You got it?
Yes.
Evangelist Tanya, can you read that for me?
Ecclesiastes
4, verse 12.
Okay. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be glad and to get and do good as they live. My reading
sure
is right?
Let me just make sure. We talked about the threefold cord.
Okay. We're getting it together, y'all.
We've ran into a lot of opposition today, I tell you.
Okay, I'm seeing it.
That's all right. Okay.
And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Keep going.
No, you can stop right there. A threefold cord is not easily broken. You can have a twofold cord or two-stranded cord, and there's some little strength in that. But when you add a third cord, that even makes it stronger. And when it's a threefold cord, it's sometimes not as easy to unravel. And God gave me revelation one day when I was braiding one of my granddaughter's hair. I was twisting it. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, don't twist it, braid it. Mm. And as I was twisting it, he said, let it go. And as I let it go, it unraveled so quickly. Mm-hmm. But when I braided it with three strands, it didn't uneasily unravel. And I braided it all the way down, and it didn't unravel. And he was saying to me, when you have two people, there is strength. But when there are three, it's even stronger. And as far as the demonic forces, you have Jezebel, Athaliah, and Delilah, as I said before. Let me just break down to you what each of those cords or each of those demonic forces do. Jezebel, her whole intent or one of her intents is to murder the prophets. Jezebel is an idol worshiper. So any time somebody is operating in that spirit, there's a lot of idolatry that takes place. And they come against the prophets, and they speak against the prophets. The spirit of Jezebel also is a manipulator. It likes to manipulate people and convince people to go or control people and cause them to do what she wants them to do. That spirit, you can always tell when that spirit is in operation.
Yeah.
There will be a controlling spirit. And when the spirit of Jezebel is present, there's also spirits of infirmity that are around, and there's confusion, there's fear, there's doubt. These are some of the traits and characteristics of when that spirit is in operation. Now, Athaliah, which is her daughter, she's the seed of Jezebel. Her intent is to destroy the generations and generational blessings. Her intent is to destroy your seed. So she's out to destroy the seed. And if you look in the news, we see that spirit in operation now. It's the spirit of Athaliah, which is Jezebel's daughter in the Bible, or Jezebel and Ahab's daughter. And her intent is to destroy the seed. Mm-hmm. And we see now that children are being murdered every day, every second, every hour. You know, people are kidnapping your children. You have people that are, you know, have the spirit of perversion, molesting children. And that spirit is out to destroy our seed. And
yes.
Then you have Delilah. Delilah, her whole intent she has like this, she's a seduction, the spirit of seduction, and it's a slow seduction. It doesn't come off real quick, but it's a slow seduction. And when the spirit of Delilah is in operation, that spirit is out to steal your destiny and your anointing. The spirit of Delilah is out to steal your destiny and your anointing. And if when you read about Samson and Delilah in the Bible, Delilah tried three times to seduce Samson. She tried three times to seduce him. But the fourth time, she got him. And when she finally seduced him and he caved in, he experienced a lockdown. He experienced a lockdown. And because Samson was not, he wasn't aware of that spirit that was in operation, he failed to defeat the evil influence because he entertained the spirit of seduction. He entertained it rather than destroying it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what is happening with a lot of men in the body of Christ. Well, not just men, but people in the body of Christ altogether. The spirit of Delilah, that she has that spirit of seduction about her, and if you're not careful, you will fall and cave into that spirit.
My Lord.
Before you know it, your destiny will be stolen. Samson's destiny was stolen. He was robbed of his destiny because he entertained seduction. He entertained it. And we just have to, that's the threefold. I wanted to give you something on that demonic threefold cord with the spirit of Jezebel. Everybody talks about Jezebel, but there are two other cohorts that operate with her. And it's not talked about. And like I said, it's Jezebel, who manipulates and controls the daughter, the spirit of the daughter, which is Athaliah. She's out to destroy your seed. And then the spirit of Delilah, who's out to destroy and keep you from reaching your destiny and your purpose through seduction.
My Lord.
Through seduction. I got a book that God gave me. It's not out yet, but it will be out, and it's called Delilah is Always Waiting in the Wings. And we have to be careful of that spirit. There's a lot of seduction taking place in the church.
Yes,
you know, everything, there's things that look appealing to us in the church, and it looks like God, but it's not God, but it's the spirit of seduction that's behind it. So we have to, the Bible says that, you know, we're not warring against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and wickedness. And we have to always clothe ourselves with the armor of God. You have to be dressed to kill. And what I mean by dressed to kill, you got to have on the full armor of God. You got to have on that helmet of salvation. And why does it say a helmet? A helmet protects your head. And actuality, a helmet protects your head. It keeps your head from becoming injured. But in the spirit, it protects your mind. When you have on the helmet of salvation, your mind is protected. You have to protect your mind because the battle is between your two ears. It's between your ears. Every spiritual battle begins in your mind, and that's why God says that we have to put on the full armor of God. And now let's talk about witchcraft altogether. Some people equate it with Halloween and a caveman with a black hat and a riding on a broom, and you know, people wearing dark clothing. It's also evident in video games and television, and we can't be ignorant of Satan's devices. We cannot be ignorant of his devices. Witchcraft is so prevalent in media today. Even in movies. That my voice is being attacked right now. When I bind that in the name of Jesus. Every time I get on air, it's like And I bind you, devil, right now in Jesus' name.
Oh, yeah, because you're going to still keep speaking.
Yes. And witchcraft is not, like I said, it's not a woman on a broomstick.
No, it's not.
And it's not, you know, just associated with Halloween. Witchcraft appears innocent.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, you know, and there's a couple of scripture references you could write down that it's strictly forbidden in the Word of God. It's strictly forbidden in the Word of God. You have Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 14. You have Leviticus 19, verse 31. Leviticus 20, verse 6. Isaiah 8, verse 19. Like I said, the battle is in our minds. And the spirit of witchcraft is challenging the churches. And and what I mean by that, it's, you know, hindering church growth. It's coming against families, coming against marriages and relationships. And I just want to know, where are the intercessors? One could chase 1,000, two could put 10,000 to flight. We've got to team up and become unified and come together. And just, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, because there's so much demonic activity that's taking place, not, you know, in the body of Christ and in the world altogether. And we've got to be about our Father's business. Where are the gatekeepers? Where are the watchmen
That's
on the
right.
wall? We have to be alert at all times. We've got to be watchful and prayerful at all times. And we can't tuck tail and run, you know, when this spirit is in operation. When the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
That's
so
right.
We shouldn't be running from any type of
I
demonic force.
Right.
If you know who you are in God,
That's
and
right.
you know that the greater one is on the inside of you.
That's right.
You would not be running from these types of things. The spirit of witchcraft, I'm seeing so much rebellion and stubbornness in the church, which is works of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3. It talks about, it says, who has bewitched you? Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3.
Okay, Galatians.
Galatians
3, 1 through 3. Okay, I got it. Galatians
3, 1
through
3. Yes.
All foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose I, Jesus Christ, have been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? My Lord.
Now notice the words in that passage. Bewitched, spirit, and flesh.
Yeah.
Who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you?
Mm.
Who has caused you to turn away from God? Who has caused you to stop praying? Who has caused you to stop seeking the face of God? Who has bewitched you? That word bewitched in Greek means who has is charmed, seduced, or under a spell. So in other words, what the writer is saying is, who has charmed you? Who has seduced you? Who has placed you under a spell? Who has done this to you to the point that you can't even identify with who you are? You cannot identify that you are a child of the Most High God. Who has bewitched you?
Yeah.
How do you identify when you are dealing with people in the church that are operating in the spirit of witchcraft?
Mm.
Let me tell you, if these are just some ways to identify it. When you're around somebody and you feel like you're walking on eggshells around them.
Yeah.
That spirit of witchcraft is in operation because when you're feeling like you're walking on eggshells, it's the spirit of fear has come upon you through that spirit, and you feel controlled. Another way to identify when you're around somebody or dealing with somebody that's operating in that spirit, you have a sick feeling or in the pit of your stomach sometimes, and that person may not even say too many words, or they may not even have to say too many things, but I know that when I've been around certain people, all of a sudden I get this sick feeling in my stomach.
Mm.
And another way is you feel all of a sudden you get a headache.
Wow.
And that's a way or of identifying when that spirit is around you.
That's true.
And let me see. Another thing in the church, you know when the spirit of witchcraft is in operation because there are a lot of man-made programs and agendas and traditions in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say that again.
Yeah.
There are a lot of man-made programs,
sure is,
agendas, and traditions in the church. The Holy Spirit is quenched.
Mm-hmm.
They lack sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they want to operate in their own agenda. That's how another way of identifying when the spirit of witchcraft is operating in the church. A lot of people think that because there is a large congregation, God is blessing it, or God is blessing that congregation more than others. Some leaders think that the size of the church is God's approval on that ministry, and that's not true.
Mm.
That's not true, because you can have a ministry of 20 people and God moving that ministry more than he does in a mega church.
Yeah.
And the problem with some of the mega churches is, and this is just from my, you know, observation as well, they have their own agenda. They don't let I'm not saying all of them, but the spirit of God is quenched, and everything is me-centered. It's like all eyes on me. Me, 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 me.
Yeah,
and the leaders are controlling.
Yes, they are.
And prideful.
Yes, they are.
And like I said, they quench the spirit. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, quench not the spirit. Don't stifle the spirit. God meant what he said. He said, quench not the spirit. And quenching the spirit is a direct violation of the scriptures. It's a direct violation of the scriptures. But you just have some leaders that are me-centered. They are selfish. They're operating in the spirit of pride. And they think that they're the only ones hearing from God. That you can't hear from God. God is only speaking to me.
Yeah, that's right.
And what I say, you know, goes. And most of the time, God hasn't said anything to them at all.
That
they're saying things to entice you and to seduce you to give up. I'm just gonna say it to give up your money. It's prostitution in the church.
It is. Amen.
That's what it is.
My God.
You got leaders that are pimping their sheep.
Yes, they are.
And because because they're not spending time with the Lord on their own, but they're seeking the advice and counsel of this leader who has bewitched them.
That's the truth.
And make them think, you're not hearing from God. You got to come to me for counsel,
Lord,
because God is only speaking to me.
That's a lie from the pit of hell. They got it twisted. That's right.
Because God is speak. God will speak to anybody and through anybody.
That's right.
And I'm not trying to bash leaders, but it's just going on too much in the body of Christ.
It is. That's the truth. That's the truth. That is the truth.
You have leaders that are spiritual controllers who are full of pride.
That's true.
And I want to just say to those that are operating in that spirit that you are in great danger when you continuously quench the Spirit of God from moving.
That's right.
I've been in churches where pastors wouldn't preach a certain way, or they wouldn't pray because certain political candidates visit the church and they don't want to say anything to offend the political candidate. They won't even preach or even have an altar call because they don't want to offend, you know, when you have guests.
Yes.
And that's another way of quenching the Spirit of God in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You have controlling preachers who get angry
if
their
sheep
visit other churches.
Yeah, oh my Lord. Girl, you hit it on the nail.
It's good for pastors to be protected but not controlled.
I know, that's right.
Because
that's
sometimes
right.
God will say, go to this place today.
That's right.
And it's not that you're being disobedient,
that's
but
true.
you're following and hearing the voice of God.
Amen.
And I have done it.
That's
where
right.
God has said, I want you to go to this church this day, and as soon as I go, I get blessed because I'm getting a word of confirmation or something like that. But when I'm telling you, I don't know about anybody else, but I can't deal with controlling preachers.
Me
I can't
either.
And I cannot. Just deal with that controlling spirit altogether.
That's right. I can't even. You know what? I don't understand. When we are in service, the pastors are the sheep. It's almost like a baby. When a mother gives birth to a child, what happens? She nurtures that child. She's trained that child.
Yes.
So when that child becomes of age, that child can learn things and know things and be on their own. You know what I'm saying? They have to get out and learn some things on their own, and
yes.
They may fall or things may happen
right.
Where they got to come back to the parents.
Yes.
And the parents are still there,
yes.
You know, to still nurture and train and help. That's the same thing in the body of Christ. Leaders are there to help us. We get
yes.
the word. We get fed. We get strength. You know what I'm saying? We get trained, all of this up under the leader. But then when we get to the place that God wants us to go and to minister, even in the word he says, for the fellowship
yes.
with one another.
Yes.
But
yes.
you got a lot of ministries that want to be with themselves in that same building all the time.
Yes.
They're not going out in the darkness. They're not going out. It's light with light. We're blinding one another. We saying we the light. We're blinding. We're light with light with light. And there's a dark world. And then, as prophetess, you were saying that how, you know, they try to lord, don't want you to go fellowship. That's wrong, because a lot of us have ministry. A lot of us, God has called to go out in the deep. So we have already been shielded. We've been fed. God will give it to us when to go. And when he said go, we need to go. We don't have to bow down, so to speak, and beg the leader. Who you think you are? You know what I'm saying? Who do you think you are? That leader didn't call me. Jesus did. And if he tell me to step out, I'm going to step out. Because if I sit here and listen to man, my head might go around and be twisted up. You know what I'm saying? So we have to obey God. Yes, we submit and we obey and we honor and everything. We do all that with the leaders. That's not what I'm saying. You know, like, don't listen to them. But it's a difference, as Prophetess was saying, it's a difference between teaching us and you know, keeping us protected, but not ruling over us. You know what I'm saying? You are not the Godfather. You know, a lot of people get it twisted. They look at us like they're the Godfather, and we're supposed to bow down, and if we don't do what you say do, our head going to be on the platter. That's a twisted up way of thinking.
Yes,
and if
is.
These men and women of God don't stop this mess, I'm telling you, the church is going to fall. People is going to be disappearing, because these are the last days, and God is putting fire in the feet of his people. And when he say move, we got to move. I done been in churches where God has told me to go somewhere, and the leader will tell me, I got to be on my post. I got to do this and get to do that. I said, you know what? You got it twisted. God called me and he saved me. Bye-bye. I'm out. And that's just the way it is.
Yes.
But go ahead, Prophets. I had to say that because I'm on fire right now with what you're saying. I'm trying to post up and this.
Yes,
but that's
yes.
the true word that you were
yes,
saying.
Yes.
So go ahead.
And you have, you know, leaders that you know you're gifted to do certain things. You know God has called you. And they won't let you flow and grow in your gift, in the ministry. They'd rather just have you keep coming Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, whenever your Bible study is, but will not allow you to flow and grow in your gifting. And I'm a person of order, and I believe in order, but there is a time when God, you know, releases you to do certain things. And if you have you know, like I said, I'm not trying to bash leaders. I'm not talking about any specific leader in particular.
Yeah.
But the spirit of control in these ministries, let me tell you what is causing to your sheep that you won't allow to go forth, I'll say.
Yeah.
They are experiencing a spiritual death. They are spiritually dying.
My Lord.
Because they feel controlled, and they feel like, well, if I do this, I'm gonna get in trouble with the bishop because I didn't ask his permission to do so and so.
Lord have mercy.
That spirit of control is I'm not one given to control.
I know.
And I tell everybody, you want to see me exit quick?
I know that's
try
right.
Try to control me.
I know that's right.
Try to control me.
They got
and
the
I'm not, like I said, I'm a person of order. I believe in order. But
that's
I know when the spirit of witchcraft is in operation.
And
that spirit and I, we don't get along.
I know that. Say that again.
We don't get along. And I don't expect to get along with it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know what? That's a powerful word. Sis, you know, a lot of these people got it twisted. But I'm here to say tonight that if these leaders don't stop all this lording over people and trying to control and all that kind of stuff, they some of them going to find themselves feet first leaving here. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are hindering men and women that got ministries and they're sitting there becoming dry bones.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to tell y'all today, if you are up under someone, and I don't care who listening to this, you don't want to hear it, you know what you can do, you can click it off. But I'm going to speak it right now. If you are sitting, and God has put fire in your belly, he put fire in your mouth, fire in your feet to do what God says, and that person is telling you what you can't do and what you better do, then you better run, because God got your back. And he's going to deal with that person.
Amen.
You better believe that. He's going to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is the hour, there's no time for to be controlled.
Yes.
We are to answer and obey Christ.
Yes.
I'm like, sister, we know about order. We know protocol, but also leaders need to know. It's not all leaders. Some leaders they go ahead and they honor the ministry in you and they tell you to go. So we're not here saying all leaders.
Yes.
So don't go back getting it twisted saying that all they was teaching about all leaders is this. No, that's not what we're saying. But we're saying there is a lot of leaders around the world that are trying to lord over people, tell them what they can't do and all this stuff and acting with hate and jealousy. And that's not of God. And if it don't stop, God got to stop saying it.
Right.
I'm done with that part.
That's right.
Sister,
that's
go
right.
ahead. Anything you got something to say before
that's
me?
That's right.
We're going to hear this message again, y'all, because I know she ain't done. So we got to come
oh,
back.
No,
we got to come back with a part two. She available next week. We're going to do this a part two. We got to have a part two.
It's a part two because the teaching on the spirit of witchcraft is very vast, and it's not just pertaining to just one, you know, area. It's large,
yes.
And it's a lot to be taught on it. And I just want to say, you know, that the spirit of religion in the body of Christ is running rampant as well, you know. And I'm just going to say, religious people do things that they think are holy around people that they think are holy.
Yeah.
Religious people do things that they think are holy around people that they think are holy.
That's right.
But when those people are not around, they're a whole different person.
Mm.
They're
My
a whole,
Lord.
Totally whole different person.
My Lord.
And you know, I'm coming against that spirit of religion in the body of Christ, you know, calling things that are holy that are not holy, calling things that are God and God doesn't have anything to do with what's going on. You know, it's a spirit of religion.
Yes, it is.
That's running rampant in the body of Christ.
That's right.
And this spirit of seduction, seducing the people and getting their money, saying God said if you give this, then you'll be blessed. Well, let me just say, whether you give it or not, you're still blessed. You're blessed because you're a child of God. You're blessed because Jesus Christ died for your sin if you're a child of God. You're blessed anyhow. So you don't
That's
need
right.
a man or a woman of God telling you if you give $500 or $1,000, you'll be blessed, or God will do this, or God will do that. I'm telling you, I've learned. I've given thousands of dollars.
Yes.
I've sown thousands of dollars in ministry.
Right.
And I tell you, God said, stop it, stop it. He said, if I don't tell you to give, you don't give.
That's right.
You don't give it. So I'm sensitive to the voice of God when he leads me to give. I only give when God tells me to give. But like
Amen.
I said, when I've seen people just give their last, they're not paying their utility bills or their car payments and getting cars repossessed and lights shut off, you know.
Mm.
That's because the spirit of control and manipulation was
That's
in operation
right.
and you did not hear the voice
That's
of God.
Right. That's right.
And a lot, I don't care who don't like it.
Amen.
I'm on assignment from God.
Amen.
With this teaching. And I'm just trying to help somebody on tonight.
Amen. Well, you know what, sister? We're going to have a part two, y'all. Tune in. If you went available Thursday, you're going to be here Thursday.
Yes.
All right. She says she's coming back on Thursday. Get ready for the part two, y'all, of this great, powerful message. We thank God for all of you that have listened in to Worship Center Radio and the Angels of Melody Radio. God bless. See you later, y'all.
From the Lord today, reach out for us now. I stretch my hands to thee. Thank the Lord. No other help I know.